Okay, today is Daf Ayin Aleph. We are on Ayin Amud Beis, the last line. So we're in the third and last question that Anshei Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua. This is the third of the Divrei Derech Eretz. So they asked, "Ma yaseh Adam? What should a person do? Vehu lo banim zucharim, that he should have male children." The Meiri says male children hegunim, the ones that are worthy, the ones that are good children. So Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Yeshua responded to them, Yisa Isha Hahogenes Lo. He should marry a woman who's worthy. What does that mean? So the Meiri here in Kedushin says that what you're supposed to look for in a wife is that she should know how to raise children to be B'nai Torah and to teach them Midos Tovos. She doesn't necessarily have to be tall and thin. She just has to be one, who's going to raise good children, raise your children appropriately. The Meiri points out that someone who marries a woman because of her money, he's going to end up having women, children who are not good children. So that's what you're supposed to look for in a child. It doesn't mean you can't marry a woman who's rich, but that should be the reason why you're marrying the woman, right? And also, v'yakdish atzmo b'shas tashmish. Rashi says l'shamish b'tznius. When he has tashmish, he should do it in a tzanua way. And Amrulo, they said back to him, wait a second, harbe osu came below ilu. Many people have done this and haven't been successful. They don't have such wonderful children. So he answered them, you're right, that's not enough. Ella, like we said before, yivakeh rachmi misha banim shelo. You should beg for mercy from the person whose all children belong to him. Meaning you should ask to daven to Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, hinei nachlas Hashem banim sachar priyabetim. The nachla of children belongs to Hashem. And sachar priyabetim, reward of priyabetim. So my kamash malon, what's he come to teach us? The habalo halo sagi, that you have to have both. You have to have rachamim, you have to daven, and you have to have your ishtadlus. You have to do the right, marry the right woman, but you also have to daven that you'll have it. So, but we've seen this before. My sachar priyabetim. What does it mean in the pasuk sachar priyabetim? That banim are sachar priyabetim, but banim are the reward of priyabetim. Amar mikhan baruchanina. So the man delays his zera, kadesha tazria ishto tchila, so that his wife can release her zera first, whatever that really means. No sin al kadosh baruch hu sachar priyabetin. So then the kadosh baruch hu gives you the reward that you should have male children. Question is that we see also from the darim that one of the marayim would have bia very quickly, like a shade took him, and that was considered a midah tova. So if he does it quickly, like a shade grabbed him, you have to delay, like priyabetin. Which one is it? So the Ravid in the Sefer Baal Nefesh says, it all depends on your kavana. It depends on the kavana. You have to have kavana for kedusha. If you feel that you're not going to have kavana for kedusha for delaying, then you should make sure to have it quickly. Point here is that I heard there's a Michta Memelio who says what the whole point is over here. He says the point is because of the point in the relationship between a husband and wife, the point is to be a nosein, is to be a giver. To give, the more you give, the more you love. So he says the idea of being mashe al pribeten, is to give, to allow her to have, and that creates the relationship, and that's why you have it's a schar if to have a banim hagunim. Okay, back to our Mishnah. Beishamai omrim. Beishamai said, right? Beishamai said that all women who died, even if in their life, when they died, they were b'cheskas tahara, we say that samach litzias neshama, they must have had a tzias adam, and they're treated like a nida, and therefore all the clothing that they wore, obviously the clothing that they're wearing now is tamei because tumas meis, but anything they touched or wore, samach l'misason, is going to be considered tamei nida. But Beis Hillel said no. Beis Hillel said she's only a nida if she dies when she's a nida. So my tamei de Beis Shammai. What's the reasoning for Beis Shammai to say that even a woman who's not muhzekas to be Tamei Nida, we treat her as a Nida, Samuch Lim Misasav, close to her death. So, Mara is going to first raise a possibility. So, E name of Mishum Dixiv. Is it maybe because the Pasuk says by Esther Malko, and they told her that Mordechai ripped his clothing and that she got all scared, and what happened? Vatischal Hamalka Me'od. She got very scared, and the Drasha is, Amara Milamish appears a Nida, that she became a Nida because of the fright, because of the sudden fright that she had. Hachanami, so to hear, aga bi asusa de malacha de mosa chaza, because of the fear of the malacha mavis that's about to come onto her, she saw blood. So meaning there's a real chash that she saw blood right before Samach L'Misasa. So the Gemara says that can't be. It can't be that she's seeing the blood. It can't be that she's seeing the blood out of the fear. V'hanantnan, we saw in the Mishnah, we saw it before, that a woman, right, we had before, that if a woman, shecharada, misalekes has done, even if she has a vesas, and she's taken prisoner, and she's held, and she doesn't do a bedika, we don't assume that she saw dam, because the fear that she has while she's captive removes the ri'ah. So we have one mission that says that it removes the ri'ah, and now you're going to say that the reason why she's considered a need of some of the misasa is because of the fear. Well, which one is it? Does fear create blood, or does fear remove the blood? So halo kasha? No, there's no kasha, because there's a difference in the type of fear. There's pachta tzamis, b'yesusa marpia. Pachta, fear, which is a continual fear, like you have when you're taken prisoner, that's going to remove the damim. But a sudden shock, I guess that's how we'll say b'yesusa, we'll call that as a shock, b'yesusa marpia. But, right, so pachta sama b'yesusa marpia. Shock is going to create the blood, but fear is just going to remove the blood. So right now, the Havamina is that the reason for Beis Shammai to treat all women as nidos when they die is because Samach L'Misasa, they saw the Malach HaMavos, and that shock creates blood to come out, and therefore they're going to be tameh. Right off the bat, I mean, what about someone who's old age, someone who's menopausal, someone who's, I don't know what the Havamina would be. But the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says it can't be. Why can't it be? Because we're going to see that Beis Shammai also says that all Zavim, all men are treated as a zav, samach l'misasa. Well, zavim, if they see the zav because of the shock, that is onis. And the halacha by a zav is they're only considered a zav if it goes mibasar, not mi onis. So the same reasoning can't apply to both. So the Gemara says, Ela mehad disan, we have a price that says, Beshame omrim kol anashim, all males, mesim kazavin, they are treated as a zav as they die, Beshil omrim ein zav, Ela mishamesa. He's only a zav if he's a zav. Not we don't treat it as such. So ikri khan bimsaro v'lo machmas on so. By zav, you have to have the flow has to be natural, I guess. It can't be from outside influences. And if the influence over here is the fear when seeing the Malach HaMavos, then he wouldn't be the zav. Then why would Beis Shammai treat him as a zav? Right? So Rashi says, look at the Rashi, that's the last wide line. Ela had the tanya, the sanya. Here's the Gilyon changes to the sanya. Ela had the sanya, kol ha'anashim ha'mesim ha'chziklun kezavim som kusasan. Ve'it ha'mayot de'be shamay mishun b'yisusa de'malach ha'maves, zuchar me'hechli mitamu. Ha'zachar ein mitamu ba'ones, takrin me'bi b'saro, v'lo ma'achmas anzo. So what's going on? So what's the reason for Beis Shammai to treat her as a, to treat them both as a nida and as a zav? So Gemara is going to say, it's a takana. So ela taima de'be shamay, is the takana, right? It's a takana sachamim to treat, it's not that halachically they're nidos, we're treating them as nidos when they die, so that we're going to have to be tovel, their kalim, and their begadim that they touched prior to death. Kidasanya, we have the following brisa. Barishona, meaning originally, prior to the takana, hayu matvilim kalim agave nidos mesos. They would be matvil, they would be tovel, the kalim and the clothing that were on the women before they died. Again, not the clothing that they're actually wearing when they die, because that is clearly Tame, talking about the stuff that they touched close to their death, right? And hayu nidos chayos misbayishos. The living nidos were embarrassed. Rashi says, what were they embarrassed for? Shafil b'misasin hei mishunim mechaladam. Because during their lifetime, the nidos. So during my lifetime, I'm treated differently. But even after death, as a nidah, we're going to be treated differently. So hiskinu, they made a takana, this seems to be Beishamai speaking, hiskinu shiumat vilim al gabe kolonoshim. So they put the made a takana that all women, all clothing of women, of all women who died, the clothing that they wore, some of the misasan, is going to require tvila. Mipnei kvodan shalitzon nidos chayas, because of the honor of the nidos who are alive, so they don't have to feel that they're going to be discriminated against even post-death. And same thing, Roshim not bilim al gabe zavim mesim hayuzav chayim misbaishin, hiskinu shiumat bilim al gabe anoshim mipnei kvodan shalitzon chayim. Very interesting over here, and I think Tosos alludes to this, is that it's uncharacteristic. It seems here that Beis Shammai is the one who's making the takana because of the feelings, the hurt feelings of people, and Beis Hillel says no, it doesn't matter if you're a nida, yes, a not nida, no, which is clearly seems to be just, I guess here's the Talmudic scholarship from here. It's uncharacteristic. Usually it's Beis Hillel who has more of the feeling and more of a popular a populist approach, as opposed to Beis Shammai, who's more strict on the halacha. So Tosfos feels by this. Tosfos says, "Mashmo da halo ha'asik beis Hillel." It's mashmo here that Beis Hillel is not going like this takana. First of all, Tosfos has a problem because it's a barishona, and he brings rayas that all barishonas, the halacha is like all barishona, and then the takanas. Well, if that's the case, then how can the halacha not be? How can Beis Hillel, if the halacha is like this, then how can Beis Hillel not agree? So Tosfos says maybe in the end Beis Hillel does agree to the takana. Tosfos can't be.
That's not a halacha, is it? It's a halacha thing that would be possible Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai.
The halacha is.
But
it's
this is one of those.
We made a tashvah to that the Beis Shammai says we're making tashvahs chachamim that all women some of them are on a tree that's nidos.
Right.
Based over here, the Beis Hillel says no. But we paskin like barishonas. Right, so he quotes Raya, so we paskin like that. So if that's the case, so Beis Hillel has to agree. So Tosfos works out to try to figure out that maybe it's a limited machlokas, or maybe Beis Hillel does agree with it in the end. Nevertheless, it's an interesting point. Okay. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah talk about blood that comes from the makor during death. Now, again, you have to remember that blood that comes out from the makor is metamek kichardol, and blood death blood, to be metamek ba'ol has to be revius. Ha'isha shemesa, so a woman dies. Hu yotza mimena revius dam, and a revius lug of dam it comes out from her makor. So now we have two, this blood is basically doubly tame, right? You have two tumos over here. Number one, metamek mishum kesem. She's a nida. Here, kesem doesn't mean a stain. Here, means kesem actually means she's a nida, even because kesem even a small amount. She's metame mitrim nida. So anyone touches it, I guess she's dead. So it doesn't have any ramifications for her, but it has ramifications for anything that it touches. It's an abatuma, right? The metame ba'ol, and the revius also is metame ba'ol because a revius of blood that comes out achar misa is like tumme mace. So it's metame ba'ol. It's like a mace actually, not tumme mace. It is the mace, and it's metame ba'ol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, ena metame mishum kesem. It's not metame mishum kesem. Why? Bipnei shenekar mishum mesa. It's not metame mishum kesem. It's not considered need the blood because it only came out post death. So it comes out post death. It's only metame mishum revius. Umode b'Rabbi Yehuda b'yoshemes ala mashber. A woman who dies during childbirth, she's sitting on the birthing stone. Umesa v'yotzim in revius dam, and a revius dam comes out. She metame mishum kesem. Even in this case, she's metame mishum kesem because we say that the blood came out when she was alive because due to the birth. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so there's Machlokas over here, it depends on the gear, so we'll see in the Gemara whether Rabbi Yossi is qualifying Rabbi Yehuda or is arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. But Amar Rabbi Yossi, lefichach eina matam ba'ol. If we are going to be totally, we're going to say that the blood came out due to the birth, eina matam ba'ol. It's either or. Either the blood is when she was alive, and therefore it's matam, it's tumanida, or the blood came out after she died, and therefore it's matam tumas ba'ol. If you ascribe it to one, you can't ascribe it to the other. So, right, so the Mishnah had mentioned that if the blood comes out during death, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama of Machlokas, whether or not there's Tumas Nida here. Right, so the Tanakhama said yes, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. So Michlal, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that he argues, it's Michlal, the Tanakhama, Sabra, Apal Gad, the Nekar, Dam, Misham, Mesim, Etam, Misham, Kesim. It's Mashma from that base that Rabbi Yehuda says it only came out Misham, Mesa, so it must be talking about the case that it's Misham, Mesa. The Tanakhama still says it's Mitam, Tum, Nida. How can it be Mitam, Tum, Nida? Because Tumas Nida is only Michayim. Tumas Nida doesn't, you don't get Tumas Nida if the blood came out after death. So Amar B'Zi'iri, Ziri said, you're right, it's not Tumas Nida, but still the Machlokas is, we've seen a few times, Mekor Mekoma Tame Ika Benayu. The Machlokas between the Tanakhama of Yehuda is whether or not the uterus itself is a Makom Tame. So the blood that comes out from the uterus, according to Tanakhama, is automatically Tame. Maybe it's not Nida Midin, that you're going to have this, you know, it's going to be 7 days and have the whole din of nida, but it still has a din of tumah because it's coming from a tummy place, and you would require, I guess it would be till the night time if you touched it. Right, Rashi says, mikor mekomo tummy hilchach afal gav shenechal la'achar misa mitam midos mipnei shehaya b'makor mechayim. She's not considered a ri'ya, but it's still tummy blood. That's the machlokas. Next, umode Rabbi Yehuda b'yoshevus ala mashber umesa v'yotzim en revius dam shem etamish from kesem amar Rabbi Yosi lefikach einar tam ba'olam. So michlal, and here's a gersa that says michlal the Tanakama. Tanakama is mashma the original Tanakama, but a lot of the gersa say that they change the Tanakama to Rabbi Yehuda. So let's just read it like that. So easy like that. Rabbi Yossi is arguing Rabbi Yehuda. Michal Tanakami, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Olal Nami Matame, right? Rabbi Yossi says it's either or. She's a Shevish Alam Mashver. So if the blood came out, Rabbi Yossi makes sense. He says, what's going on? So it depends. If you're ascribing it to what, to the birth, then it's not Matamba Oel. If you're ascribing it to Matamba Oel, it's not going to be Matamba Mishumnida. Rabbi Yehuda says both. How can it be both? You ascribed it Mishumnida, so how can it be Matamba Oel? So Michlal Tanakami, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Ba'ol Nami Matamba. That this blood's also be Matamba Oel. He's saying it's birth blood, and yet he's going to ascribe, I mean, from came out when she was alive, and now he's going to say that it's Matamba Oel. It can't be. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. So the Amora, Rabbi Yehuda, and explain the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, dam tivusa ikibinayu. Say translate mixed up blood is the difference between them. What's dam tivusa? So dam tivusa is a tumah derabanan. We don't basically it's based on a case that we don't know when the blood came out. The blood came out before or after misa. So we say dam tivusa, and therefore it's tame ba'ol mi derabanan, because that's basically what dam tivusa is. It's a din derabanan. Rashi says dam tivusa ike benayu li Rabbi Yehuda ho'el v'safiku. It's a suffik. So suffik im nekar kulu michayim, suffik im nekar miksasul achar misa, have dam tivusa umi derabanan etamo. Dam tivusa is similar to the lashon we say by a bris, by the pasuk in Yecheskel, right? Misposesses with the mayach. That's all mixed up in the blood. So he says in Shmita Rabbanan Tamba Oel, the Midoraisa, the only thing that's Tamba Oel, Rashi says, Achte Revius Lachar Misa. You have to have a Revius post death. Right? But Rabbi Yossi Savar Hai Lav Dam Tavusa. He doesn't argue the concept of Dam Tavusa. He just says, this is not Dam Tavusa. The Kevan de Koras Leilehu Kul Nekar Michaim. He doesn't have a suffix. So since she was bending over to give birth, the blood came when she was alive. So Dam Tavusa Ikibinayu. So now we're going to quote a Braisa. It's a long brisa. It's a different dinam about dam tavusa. This sanya and the following brisa. Ezu dam tavusa. What is considered dam tavusa? So Peiris Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yehuda gave the following answer. Haruk sheyatsa mimenu dam. A dead person that blood came out. Bein b'chayav ben b'moso. He was bleeding both before and after death. And we don't know. I guess he was bleeding at a time. We don't know he was alive or dead when the blood came out. So suffik b'chayav yotzei, we have a suffik that all the blood came out when he was alive, and therefore it would be not that tumas mace. But suffik b'mosa yotzei, maybe it all came out after he died, and then the blood would be tumas mace. Suffik b'chayav suffik b'mosa, maybe part before, part after. We don't know where to ascribe the majority. So zeh dam tavusa, that is dam tavusa. The rabbis say no, that's not dam tavusa, that's a suffik. The suffik d'oraisa. We have a suffix to Raisa when the blood came out. So we have a suffix to Raisa, so we have to apply the suffix to Raisa rules. Pirishus Arabim, it's Tahar. Tahar, Mishus Arabim, it's Tame. You have to apply the rules. The Chami Omrim, what are you talking about? Pirishus Ayachit Sveko Tame, because it's a Doraisa. Pirishus Arabim Sveko Tahar. So that's not the case of Dam Tavus. You have to figure out what's going on with Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda. Chami say something pretty, makes sense. There's a suffix to Raisa. So what are you talking about? That's not Dam Tavus, but it didn't the Rabbanon. It's not suffix to Rabbanon, it's a suffix to Raisa. So, to work it out. So,
how can you just say that you didn't know? You see someone being stabbed. You don't know what the moment of death is, but you see blood gushing out of them.
Right.
So, you just don't know what the moment was.
Right, so that, if that's the case,
it's still suffering.
That's a suffering to a rice, I would think. So, Chachamim Omrim, so Ela Ezu Dam Tavusa, what's Dam Tavusa? We say, Haruk Sheyotza Himenu Revias Dam. An exact amount of Revias Adam came out from this dead person. And we know for a fact that it didn't all come out post death, right? Haruk Shiyotzi Men Revias Dam, B'chayav B'moso V'adayin Lo Pasach. That's a verse issue over there, and it hasn't stopped yet. A lot of people take the Tosos has four sheets of what to do with that lashon of V'adayin Lo Pasach. Anyway, so the person is dead. We know that all the blood, which only Revias Dam came out. We know the entire Revias did not come out post death, right? So, suffik rubo b'chayev l'miuto b'moso, the suffik whether the robe came out when he was alive and a miut when he died, and therefore it's definitely not, it's not dam misa, and suffik b'uto b'chayev rubo b'moso, maybe the robe was when he was dead, right? Zeu dam tavusa, this is considered dam tavusa, which is tame midrabanan, because midaraisa we know for a fact this isn't tame, because you would have to have a revi shlema to come achar misa. So that's why it drops down a level to be only a tumah midrabanan. Okay. The Braisa then continues to talk about Dam Tavusa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harok Sheyotzam Yemened Reviyas Dam, Vahayamuta Bamita. So he's on the bed. He's on the bed, and he dies. A Reviyas Dam comes out, Vidamo Mithaftef Laguma, and the blood is dripping off of the bed into some sort of hole. So Tame, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're Tame, Mipnei Shatipa Shel Misa, the tipa of blood that came out, Tipa Shel Misa Me'uredes Bo. There definitely is some blood, post-death blood, that fell out after death, and it's mixed into this pool of blood underneath. And that's going to be considered, I guess there's no bittul over there, and that's going to be considered Dam Tavusa, and therefore it's Tame Mi De Rabbanon. Mechachamim Metaharim, Mechachamim Amertahar in this case, why? Mipnei Sherishon Rishon Nifsak. Because each, he says, the blood started coming out pre-death. So every piece of blood, every drip of blood that came out, kama bottle. It's bottle as it drops into the pool of blood underneath. Rashi says, Sherishon. Yeah, because what happens with lunch is the same thing. Oftentimes it says kama bottle. If you have an established piece and things drip in, each time one thing drips in, you view it as each drop individually, and it becomes bottle barov, bottle barov, bottle barov, bottle barov. So what you have, that said, we have that thing in the ordinary all the time.
No.
So let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Se'ein zav kiluach elonotate. Here the flow, it's not a flow of blood, it's a drip. Even if there's rove that dripped out after Misa, again, Pariah, it's not a Revius. Originally, blood came out when he was alive into this pool. Drip by drip, it came out. They call tipa v'tipa shenafla v'teila v'dam arishon shemagum mechayim. That's how it came to that. It becomes the bato. So the Gemara says, Shapak Amalei Rabbanu Rabbi Yehuda. So they said, good point, Rabbi Yehuda. It's all bato. So if it's all bottle, it should be tar. This shouldn't be a case of Dam Tavusa. So Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda goes to Shistaso. We've seen this a few times in Shas. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amr ain't Dam Vatel Dam. He says, Mim Bemino ain't a bottle. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mim Bemino ain't a bottle. Based on that, you can say the famous Ran in the Darim. Why does he hold Mim Bemino ain't a bottle? Because the Ran in the Darim, where's the Ran again? Nunbez. I think Nunbez. The Ran in the Darim is explaining Dabar Sheish Lamatirin and explains that Dabar Sheish Lamatirin. Why is Dabar Sheish Lamatirin? Mutter, an usser. So Rashi and Beit says, because wait, why eat now, eat later. So the Ran says, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Mimbamino is not batel? Because in order for Mimbamino to be batel, in order for there to be bittul, you need to have a clash. He says, if it's the same item, if it's Mimbamino, there's no clash. It's not a mixture. Mimbamino, in order for bittul, you have to have one thing override the other thing. Well, if it's the same thing, there's nothing to override. He says the same thing with Dabashashashim Matirin, there's no clash. There's no clash in there, therefore it's usser. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mimbamino ain't a batel. Chachamim also agreed to the idea of a clash, but they say by Mimbamino it's still batel because there is a clash, because you don't have to worry about necessarily a physical clash as long as there's a halachic clash as well. One thing's aser, one thing's mutter. That's considered a clash also, and that's enough to make bittel. Rabbi Yehuda says, looks at the physicality. Physically, they're the same idea. There's no clash. Mimbamino ain't a batel. Right, that's just off the dock for the day. In honor of Rabbi Raza, we'll do that. Right? So Rishon Nifsak Shokamele Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Tamei Damer, Ein Dam, Vatel Dam. Okay, next case. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Next case is Salu. Allah Eitz. I don't know if this means that he's just hanging by his neck, or maybe it means that he was crucified. It could be that he's crucified. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Saluv Allah Eitz, Shedamo Shotes La'aretz. So a guy is hanging on a tree. I think crucifixion makes more sense over here. A guy is hanging on the wood, and the blood is flowing out from him down to the ground. V'nimtza tachtav revias dam. So you see underneath, you see on the bottom, you see revias adam, tamei. We say that blood is tamei. There's a possibility it exists that came out post-misa. Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, Rabbi Yehuda's retire. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's tahor. Why? Ani omer tipa shel misa omedes al gav eitz. Because I say the death blood is still standing on the wood, and what came out afterwards, what came out on the floor, that is the blood that came out while he was alive. Like your point from Stewie, that he's describing the blood that came out from that, the death blood is still stuck. The blood that came out before is what gathered. That's all dam tohar. So the Gemara asks, why in this case is Rabbi Yehuda say that the blood that's on the floor is the live blood? Say that in the Misa, and therefore it's tahor. Say that in the case before by the bed, that the blood underneath is the live, the blood from the live. Rav Yehuda nema ilu nafshe shani omer tipa shel miso medes agavamita. So Gemara says no, shani mita de michal chala. A mita, a bed is michal chala. Okay, when someone is dying dies on a bed, I guess when someone's lying on the bed, there are holes in the bed.
I'm not exactly. Rigor mortis setting in, the body shakes a little bit. He said, by doing that, it shakes out all the blood.
That's what he says?
This is different in the case of the corpses, the bed which shakes. If the bed shakes as the dying person.
So the bed is shaking.
You cannot assume that the drop of death was held back.
Because the bed
is not drip to the pool below.
So because the bed is shaking, therefore the blood will come. You can't assume that everything
stay
on the bed. But as opposed to the guy who's impaled on the crucifix, that's he's stuck. So there's no shaking, there's no movement.
Where the crucifix is,
it's staying still.
Still
staying still. I'm assuming this is crucifixion as opposed to someone just hanging.
Probably.
But okay, fine.
Or just someone gets stabbed or speared.
No, but it says he's salubala eats. All right. Next. Okay, we need a few hakdamos to the next Mishnah. Number one, someone who is Tameh and is Tovel, right? So until Tzeis of Kohavim, he's considered a Tvul Yom, he's a din of a Sheni Latuma. All right? Since he's a Sheni Latuma, he cannot be Metame Chulin, because Chulin does not become a Shlishi. However, if he's a Tvul Yom, he's no Geya, but Truma, the Truma becomes a Shlishi, because Truma becomes a Shlishi, and also this Shlishi can then transfer Tuma to Kachim, because Kachim can become a Revi, right? Tumor can become a Shlishi, Kachim can become a Revi. Now, a Yoledes who's sitting on Dam Toar. So she had her, say for a boy, she had her 7 days of Tumah, she went to Mikvah. Now she has 33 days of Tohar. So she's still considered Tvul Yom until she's a Tvul Yom Arucha, or Aruch, a long Tvul Yom, which is 66 days for an Akeva and 33 days for a Zachar. So during these days, if she saw blood, she's not Mitameh, because that's not considered damnida, but her din is like a tvul yom, and so she cannot eat truma, because if she touches the truma, she's going to be in the time of the truma. She cannot eat truma if she's a kohen, she's a kohenes, ish is kohen, until she the yumei toar are up. Fine. Number three. Again, a mace is aviyah vosatuma. Someone who touches a mace is an avatuma. The zav and a zava are also, and a yoled, and the nid and a yoledes, those are also avosatuma. Someone who touches an avatuma is a rishon. And someone who touches a rishon is a sheni, and the sheni cannot be metame chulin, but can be metame truma, and kachim can get all the way down to a revi. A kachim that's revi cannot be metame anything. It ends there. Number four, chulin shenasu taras hakodesh. We have the concept of chulin that are treated like hekdesh. So that is the person who accepts upon himself to keep his chulin like kachim. So there's a machlokas tanoim in chulin daf lamed heim abeis. If you're knowing them, the same dinim of kachim, meaning, do they get become a revi? How stringent are you with that chulin? Do you ascribe to them a revi? Midah rabbanan. Okay. Start the Mishnah. Barishona. Originally, hayu omrim. The chachamim would said hayu sheves al dam tahor. So a woman who's sitting during her, meaning she went to mikvah after, and she's now doing her next 66 or 33 days for a female or for a male. So we allowed her, haisa me'ara mayim lepesach. She would be allowed to pour the water from one kli to another kli for the Pesach, which would mean, Rashi says, for washing the Korban Pesach. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos from Iri said also that this mayim is the pouring the water into the dough to bake the matzahs. Clearly, women are allowed to pour the water, so you can say that to those who go to Shatzer and they get a hard time with the women pouring the matzah. It seems clear that the women are allowed to pour the water. Tova's, my wife's grandfather, will be very happy with this. The whole big stick every year in Shatzer, if you go in, women want to pour the water, and they go crazy, and they say you're allowed to. I guess from here it seems you're allowed to. Okay, so Barishon Ayomim of Yosef Aldan Torah Haisam Aramayim Lit Pesach. Let's go according to Rashi Shita, which means they're allowed to wash off the Korban Pesach because why? A Tvul Yom is a Sheni. Let's read Rashi, right? Ma Aramayim Lit Pesach Mikli El Kli Lirchotz Ba Es Habasa Pesach Ava B'Mayim Einu Nagah. She can't touch the water. Shehi Tvulos Yom, because she's a Tvulos Yom. She Tavlos Vov Shuayim. She went to mikvah after 2 weeks. The ein la harav shemesh at shmonim. It's talking about a gave birth to a girl. She doesn't have harav shemesh until day 80. shu tekef lavos kaparasa, because that's right before if you bring us our korban. But kasev asa tvulus yom, v'kaim olam l'chol kodesh rabbi tumah, v'tvul yom sheniu, because she ma'ara, when she pours, eino nogas b'mayim, she's not touching the water, ela b'kelim, v'sheni eino metamakli, sheni b'tumah can't be metamakli, so she can do it, there's no worry. Chazru, they went back to say, lomar, harehi kimaga tmeimes l'kodshim. They made the takana to say that she is considered not a sheni, she's considered a rishon, right? She's like someone who touches a mace, right? She's considered a rishon, she's tummy mace, which she's a rishon, but only for kachim she's considered a rishon. Rashi says, Chazu loma rehi kamaga tummy mace who rishon the kachim, avaluchulin lo, but for chulin she's not a rishon. So therefore what? Hilkach afilu nogas b'mayim im tirtza. She can even touch the water if she wants. Shemayim chulim heim. The water is chulim, right? V'tful yom sheni hu, and she's a tful yom, and therefore at the ain sheni also shlishi b'chulim, and the sheni can't make a shlishi. Okay, what's why in the ratio is different? We'll have to see in the Gemara. But va'af al pi shemayim halalu nasim al taras hakodesh. But even though this water is done al taras hakodesh because it's used to wash the carbon pesach, sharei the rechitas pesach asiyos lo mahani bu sheni. A sheni can't have any impact. The chulim hanasa taras hakodesh laf hakodesh davo. The last part of our introduction was that this, now they're going to hold it. The chulin and masa parasha kodesh doesn't get the status of kodesh; it's just treated as such. But the halakas of hekdesh don't apply to it. So therefore, as a sheni, she can touch the water. Once they made this takara to say that she's considered a rishon legabe hekdesh, so she's a sheni legabe chulin. So therefore, she can touch the water. So it's like a chumrah that brings out a kula. Okay. That's Kedivre Beis Hillel. That's like Beis Hillel. Af Ketmei Meis. Oh, I read the Mishnah wrong. The Beis Hillel says Harehi Kemaga Tmei Meis, which means that she's a Rishon. Beis Shammai says she's actually Tmei Meis, which means she's an Av. So if she's an Av, then if she touches the Kachim, she'll make a Rishon. And if she's that's Beis Hillel. Enoch and Avi, it's the same din, the Gabe Chulin. The question is, what was the Takan of the Gabe Kachim? Is she considered a Rishon or is she considered an Av? And that has impact on how further along the line you can go.
So does it make a difference to the water?
Doesn't make a difference to the water. It just makes a difference for the fact, if she's a Rishon for the Kachim, then the next thing is a Sheni, the next thing is a Shlishi. If she's an Av, then the next thing is a Rishon, the next thing is a Sheni, the next thing is a Shlishi. It goes...
Why does it make a difference if the last thing before it touches the Kachim is cool?
No, it would have an impact on whether or not she does touch the Kachim. If she's a Rishon, the Tumah, if she's a Rishon, and then she touches something, so that if she touches, she's a Rishon, she touches Chulin, right? Then yeah. The next thing is nothing.
Right.
If she's, she's Perkachim.
So anyway, you look at it, the water...
Forget the water. Enochanami. The water is fine, because they don't make the Satakana for Chulin.
Okay.
They're saying, Gabi Kachim, when they made the Kana Gabi Kachim, did they make her a Rishon, or did they make her an Av?
Okay.
And that just has impacts on how further down the line you can go for Kachim. So now the Gemara explains. Me'ara, she can pour the water in, that she can do, but nogas, lo, that's the Rishona, but she couldn't touch the water. Alma, according to the first part of the Mishnah, by Rishona, Alma, chulin shenatzol taras hakodesh, hikodesh damu. According to the beginning of the Mishnah, we didn't allow her to touch the water, so we said because chulin shenatzol taras hakodesh, get a din of kodesh. So therefore, you view the water as kodesh, and a sheni can't touch it, because it'll make it a shlishi. But Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Seifa was the Chazru Lomar, Harehi Kemaga Meis Lekachim. Lekachim in, Lechulin Lo, Alma Chulin, Shanaswa Taras HaKodesh, Lav Kodesh Damu. So when they made the Takana, they moved, we explained this in the Mishnah already, when they made the Takana, they removed this concept of Chulin, Shanaswa Taras HaKodesh, equaling Kodesh. I mean, you treat it, they treated the Chulin, as Kedusha, but didn't get the Halachos of Kedusha, and therefore, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, because she's a Sheni, Lechulin, she could theoretically touch the water as well. It wouldn't have any impact. Masnisin Mani, who's our Mishnah like? Abashohi, it goes like Abashol. The Tanya with bracelet says, Abashol Omar, Tful Yom, Tchila Lekodesh. A Tful Yom is considered a Rishon, Letame Shnayim. Tful Yom, Tchila Lekodesh. Right, she's considered a Rishon LeKodesh and LeTamish Shnayim, so she can Lifsol Echad. LeGabe Kodesh, she's considered a Rishon, so therefore she can be, it can be Metameh two down the line, and it can be Pasul one afterwards. So the Rishon touches the Sheni, Tameh. The Sheni can touch the Shlishi, Truma, Tameh. and it can be metame, and it can passel the fourth thing, another kachet, because that's the only way it works. So that's Avashol, who says that that's what our Mishnah is like, that the Tful Yom is treated like a Rishon Legabe Kodesh. Next Mishnah. Umodim, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, both agree. Right? So Beis Shammai, right? So what we just said before, that Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai was Machmir by Yoledes, who's Yoshevesh Adam Tohar, they both agreed to teach her, to treat her Legabe Kachim as Tamei. Beis Hillel says she's treated as a Rishon, Beis Shammai says she's treated as an Av. But they both agree, Shehi Ocheles B'Meiser. She can have Meiser Sheni like any Tful Yom. They weren't Machmir. They were Machmir B'Kachim, not Machmir in the Meiser Sheni. She can eat Meiser Sheni like any Tful Yom. And they all agree, V'Kotze L'Chala U'Makefes V'Kor L'Shem. When it comes to Chala, she can separate. The problem with Chala is that once you get the Chala, because it's dinner truma. But she can separate the Chala from the dough. And then she can put it in the Kli. And then she can bring it close to each other in a kli, which is interesting, because usually the challah has to be attached. But you can bring it close to a kli, and then korel l'shem, and then you can call the challah or part of challah, part of it a challah. Then they also agree, im nafo meroka umidam tahara al kikar shel truma shutar. And they also agree that if any of her spittle or any of her dam, which is tahor at this point, thanks to the dam nida, falls on truma, they agree that it's tahor because the mashkim who comes out from a tzol yom is considered tahorim. Now, Beis Shammai agrees, now is a machlokas as to whether or not at the end of day 66 or the end of day 33, whether you require an additional tevila. We have to go back to mikvah again. She already went to mikvah after the Yemei Tumah ended. Does she have to go now at the end? Beis Shammai omrim tzricha tevila ba'acharona. At the end of 80 days or 60 or 40 days, she require a additional tevila in order for her to eat truma. I guess if she's Eishes Kohen to eat truma. Rashi says, and for a non Eishes Kohen, it's in order to allow her to go into the Beis HaMikdash, right? Beis Hillel Omrim Eina Tzricha Tevila B'Achrona. She doesn't need another Tevila. Rashi says, Tzricha Tevila, the last Rashi before they get wide again, Lel Shmoni Matruma, Mipnei Shetoveles Yom Orachi. She's a Tvul Yom, a long Tvul Yom. Right? And Beis Shammai says, Veisicha Daisa Min Atruma. She had Hesicha Daisa Matruma. If she's a regular Israelis, so she needs to go to mikvah again in Lahr to enter the mikdash. And Beis Hillel says ain't a tzricha, because I guess she's not hesed, she doesn't have hesed kadas for truma. And al kachim mode Beis Hillel, but for kachim she wouldn't need. I guess if she wants to eat kachim, she wouldn't need another tefila. The chaimelon chagiga haonen amuchus kaparim tzricha tefila lekodesh. So after she brings the carbon, if she wants to eat the carbon, I guess she has to go to mikvah, even according to Beis Hillel. The little question over here is just whether or not for truma. So the Amar Mar, so the Gemara says that a Mishnah had mentioned that Yoledes, who's sitting on Dam Tohar, she can eat Maaser Sheni. Why? The Amar Mar, Tavu V'Olah, a Tvul Yom, Ochel B'Maaser, can eat Maaser Sheni. There you have it. The Kotz L'Chala, she can remove the Chala without Kriya Shem, because Chulin HaTvulim L'Chala, Lach Chala Damil. Because when it's mixed together, it doesn't have the din of challah. So it's considered chulin. So sheni who touches it chulin, it's not a problem. It's only when it's separated, then it has the din of truma, the sheni touches it, it would be a problem. Uma kefes, then she can put them together. The amar mar, mitzvah literal min amukah. You're supposed to pull it out when it is all together. So it has to be when the dough is all together. I'm not exactly sure how she's pulling it out. She's putting it together in the kli? She's putting the kelim together? Close enough, but I thought the halacha is that you're supposed to have it, you know, it's so close that when you pull it, the strings come out. Okay. The Korel Hashem, she can call it one piece challah, one piece not challah. So he puts in over here from the Marsha that it was may avrai, the words may avrai. I guess from the piece that's outside. Because you have a mean that maybe we should say that she can't, because if she's allowed to call Hashem, maybe she'll touch it. Kamash Malan, that we don't have this chash that she's not going to touch it. And therefore she can be called Hashem. Be Nafame Roka. It seems that she puts in the kli before she separates it. She separates it before she touches it. Right. It's not, and then she's Karl Hashem, but she shouldn't touch it, and then that becomes Pisa Chalos. Somebody else, I guess, takes it and does with it what needs to be done. The Im Nafo Meiroka, some of her spittle or her Dam Tohar falls on Truma, that is not Metame the Truma. The Tnan, because we have a Mishnah in Tvul Yom that says, Mashke Tvul Yom, the mashkim that come out, the liquid that comes out from the body of a tevul yom, like the spit or tears, right? Kimashkim hanogeya behem. They're the same dim of mashkim that touch them. And we know that a tevul yom, who touches mashkim, the mashkim does not transmit tumah to those mashkim. The elu ve'elu einam mitamim. They don't become tamei because they don't have this tumah. The chutz b'mashkei hazav, except for the orifices of a zav, meaning the spittle and the urine of the zav, to avatuma. That's an avatuma midoraisa. That's a different story. That's the avatuma midoraisa. Beis Shammai said that she needed a tefila b'achrona, and Beis Hillel said that she doesn't need a tefila at the end. So my beinayu, what's the machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Amar Rav Katina. Rav Katina says tefil yom orech ike beinayu. She's a tefil yom orech. That's the machlokus. That Beis Shammai holy, you have to be machmir by her more than a regular tefil yom. A regular tefil yom doesn't do another tefila after he brings the karban, right? His harav shemesh and he's done. But this is a tefil yom orech, as Rashi indicated before, that maybe there's hesach hadas throughout the time. If hesach hadas, you have to go to mikvah again, because the hesach hadas that came about because of this duration of time, therefore he's going to require her to go to mikvah again. And Beis Hillel is not choshish for that. Just because she's a tefil yom aruch, so what? She's still a tefil yom, and she's mutter b'tshuma by erev shemesh, on day 80 or day 40, without a tefila no sefes. All right, we'll stop here. Have a good day.